Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. It is a special edition of our Twitter mailbag. We are doing a Twitter Thursday. We did a Twitter Tuesday earlier in the week, but given the news regarding the quarterback switch, I figured there'd be a lot of questions, and sure enough, there were, and I figured let's devote a show to getting your questions answered, because hey, without you guys, there is no Locked On Giants podcast, so your questions, your feedback, your listens, everything's appreciated, and it is my pleasure to go through another mailbag with you. And coming up on the program, I'm going to tell you about a special feature that is fan-driven. It's an idea that I got after looking through some of the questions that I received. So I'm going to give you details about that a little later on in the show. Make sure you stay with me throughout the show, and I hope you will enjoy it. I hope you'll want to take part in it. And, you know, we'll try and make the best of a very sticky situation in Giants country. So let's get right into your questions. And we're going to kick it off with one from A. Garrison 22 wants to know that given that the Giants want to give Jones the best chance to succeed, do you see them trying to acquire a receiver upgrade at the trade deadline if one becomes available? My guess is no. They're going to get Golden Tate back in 2 weeks. Sterling Shepard is on the mend. I think he has a legitimate shot to play this week after missing last week due to a concussion. Cody Latimer, from what I understand, his concussion is not one that they anticipate will keep him out of action for multiple weeks. So I think what's going to happen here is they're going to, you know, stick with what they've got at receiver, maybe get Saquon Barkley finally involved a little bit more in the passing game. At least that is, you know, where I think it's headed. And we'll see if that changes from there. But as far as, you know, trading for an elite receiver, I don't see that happening. This team is not one player away. So I just don't see them going down that path at this point. Next question comes from Giannetti Jr. What is the solution for DeAndre Baker, and how can they position him for success? There's a couple of things there I think they can do with DeAndre Baker. The first thing is I think they can put him in a position where he's doing more press coverage. That is his strength. Zone coverage is very difficult for a young cornerback to learn. So I think they need to maybe have him play a little less in terms of zone, maybe a little bit more press coverage. The other thing, if I'm James Betcher, what I maybe look to do with that defense in general is I simplify things. Right now, I think everybody's head is swimming. That defense is not coming together as they anticipated. And I think they just have to kind of, for a lack of a better term, dumb things down a little bit until these guys get the confidence and start playing fast. I mean, sometimes when you ask someone to start at level 4 and they haven't mastered levels 1, 2, and 3, you're asking for trouble. And I think, quite frankly, that's where this Giants defense is at right now. Let's see. Dee Seidenfrau, when do you think Betcher flat out simplifies the defense? Again, just talking about that, I'm hoping this is the week. As I record this, James Betcher has not spoken to the media for his weekly presser. So I'm guessing this will be the week, but we'll see what he has to say. And I'll have obviously a report on that once he talks and once I've had a chance to digest what he's had to say. So, but hopefully it'll be this week. Joseph Kenny _IE, at this stage in his career, is Eli Manning actually more helpful to the Giants as a pseudo offensive coordinator than a player? That's a tough one. Look, Eli's experience is something you just can't buy. I mean, I think it's very valuable, but I wouldn't quite put him as an offensive coordinator. I think, you know, Pat Shurmur is going to still call the plays. I think now that they've moved on to Daniel Jones, they're going to maybe tailor the offense with more plays that Jones can execute and feel more comfortable with. So So, yeah, I think that's the way they're going to go there on offense. But no, I don't see Eli necessarily becoming, you know, a pseudo offensive coordinator. He's going to, you know, help Jones however he can. But, you know, Shurmur and Mike Shuler are going to primarily be the guys in Jones's ear, I think, on game day. Seize the moment, says Pat Shurmur. Seems outmatched every game. Do they use counterintelligence to scout the team? Expose their weak points. For example, weeks 1 and 2, over-aggressive defense, run false jacks, jet sweeps, or things like that. I'm not sure exactly what you're meaning there with counterintelligence. Counterintelligence, I think, would mean feedback from other teams. I think, you know, and this doesn't change. You look at the film every week, you know, what worked, what didn't, and try to figure out why the things that worked work, and the things that didn't work, didn't work. And those that didn't work, you just adjust. I mean, that's what these coaches are being paid for, is to make these adjustments and figure out how to put this team in the best position to win games. And I don't think we can sit here and say that has been the case. That might be the intention, but that has not been the case. And that needs to change, obviously. Otherwise, it's going to be another long year. Mega Giants 89, what are your realistic expectations for Daniel Jones in his regular season debut versus the Bucks this Sunday? Realistically, I think he's going to have some good plays. I think he's going to take some lumps. I think Todd Bowles, who is the defensive coordinator of the Bucks, runs a very aggressive style defense, and I think they're going to do everything they can to move Jones off his mark. So I'm very curious to see how he fares with that. You know, is he going to get rattled? Is he going to keep his cool? You know, how is he going to respond? I think, you know, Bowles is probably going to throw some disguises and try and trick Jones into making some false reads. So I think overall, the thing to expect is the Giants are going to have their growing pains with Daniel Jones behind center. But you've got to remember, he's a rookie. And if you think back to when Eli was a rookie, he struggled for like the first 5 games. And then I think by the 6th game, everything kind of clicked. The experience that Jones is going to get is going to be invaluable. It's going to help him tremendously. But there are going to be growing pains. There's going to be hiccups. And we just need to be patient with him. You know, bottom line, I mean, I know that's asking a lot, but that's what we need to do, guys. All right, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor. We're going to take our first break, come back, and we have more of your questions, plus an update on that special feature which you guys helped inspire. So stay with us, Giant fans. We'll be right back. Mack Weldon is better than what you're wearing right now. And for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, all one word, MackWeldon.com. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants Segment 2. Patricia Traynor here with you. It is a special edition of our weekly mailbag, Twitter Thursday, the second mailbag we are doing this week in the light of the Giants' decision to switch quarterbacks. They made the announcement on Tuesday. Daniel Jones gets the start this Sunday, and the Eli Manning era, barring any kind of injury to Jones or situation, is apparently over. So solemn time in the history of the franchise, but, you know, hopefully they continue to handle it and there will be better days ahead for all involved. All right, so let's get back to your Twitter Thursday questions. We're going to start off with Philippe_Gayato. Do you think the Giants might claim the recently released defensive end Taco Charlton to help with the pass rush, or do you see the Giants making any moves right now? Gettleman sure loves former first rounders. My guess is they don't put a claim in for Charlton. It's interesting because that was a guy I liked coming out of college, but he just didn't pan out for the Cowboys. I'm not sure exactly why. Haven't really followed his career since he went to Dallas, but I think the Giants see a future with X-Man and Lorenzo Carter. I know right now they also have Marcus Golden in there, but, you know, I don't think he's in the long-term plans. And if for some reason the Giants don't get that to work out, I fully expect them in the offseason to use some of that 50 plus million cap space that they're going to have to get themselves a premier pass rusher. I think they, you know, they're going to wait and see, but I could see that being a situation down the line that they pursue. NH_Giants says, listening to Eli being interviewed at his locker Wednesday, he sounded more at ease. Do you think part of Eli is actually relieved, even though he is disappointed? And for the first time in 16 years, pressure is on someone else. I don't think it was a matter of being relieved that the pressure is off him. I mean, Eli has always been one to stand up there and, you know, want to take the pressure. I do agree with you that he sounded more at ease. And I think the reason for that, as opposed to what happened in 2017, I think what happened in 2017, Eli was pretty much caught off guard. And I think this time around, you know, the handwriting was kind of on the wall. You know, the Giants in 2017 really didn't have a suitable option to step in if things got, you know, started to turn. They didn't have the future quarterback on the roster, contrary to what they might have said at the time. I think this year, Eli realized that, you know, look, you're spending a top 10 draft pick on a quarterback. He is the future of the franchise. He's had a good summer. He's had, you know, a good showing every time he's been in there. At some point, they're going to turn to him. So I just don't think that this time around, this was a big surprise to Eli. I think maybe the timing was a surprise, but certainly not the fact that the Giants decided to go to Daniel Jones. I think Eli expected that at some point. You know, he made a comment, I knew what I was signing up for. And I suspect that's what he meant when he said that. J.R. Boateng writes, with Jones now the new starting quarterback, does this put Shurmur and Gettleman on the clock to show some progression by the end of next year? Absolutely. Absolutely. If they can't get this team turned around and they can't start to show progress and win more games than what they have in the past and gradually take those baby steps forward, you better believe there's going to be, you know, the seats underneath both of their fannies is going to get a lot hotter. They have got to get things straightened out now, because now, slowly but surely, they're running out of, you know, guys that they can point to and say, okay, you know, maybe it was this guy's fault or that guy's fault. But, you know, I'll say this. The biggest problem in my eyes was not the quarterback. And I'm speaking frankly here, guys. I know there are a lot of you out there who don't like Eli Manning, who wanted him retired years ago. The biggest problem on this team has been the defense. And until they get that fix, it doesn't matter who they put back there at quarterback. They could put Bart Starr back there, Burt Jones, Brett Favre, Y.A. Tittle, Phil Sims, whoever they want to put back there. Until that Giants defense gets fixed and starts playing like it should be, I don't know how much it's going to matter. And that's where my biggest concern continues to lie with this team. All right, next question comes from Idoneo Mex. With the Giants changing their starting quarterback, do you think they need three quarterbacks on the roster? In my opinion, Giants can use this roster spot on another needed position. I haven't really thought of that. I mean, I see why you would say that, because, you know, Eli now provides, you know, the experience factor that Alex Taney was supposed to provide. But I just think, you know, Shurmur likes to have three quarterbacks. You know, that's he's always had that. You know, that's his call. And, you know, I agree with you that maybe they don't need that, but you know, I think they're going to stick with that, to be honest with you. So it is what it is. That's his call, and we'll go from there. Okay, next question. John Spielman. With Jones starting the rest of the season and Eli as a lame duck backup, do you see Taney being replaced in 2020 for a more experienced quarterback? You know what? Tanny is under contract, I think, next year. And my gut feeling is they might keep him. And the reason for that is if you assume that Eli is going to retire after this year, and I think there's a very good chance of that happening, given how everything has gone down. Next year, if you bring back Tanny and Jones, you've got two quarterbacks who know the system really well. They've been with Pat Shurmur since through the thick and thin, I guess. So I think, it makes more sense to bring in a new quarterback at that point who has to get caught up and who now can turn to Jones and Tanny as their experienced guys and as their mentors. So no, I at this point, I don't see them replacing Tanny. I don't think he has that big of a contract or a cap hit, I should say. I'd have to look that up, but I don't know that that's going to, change next year. But, we're still a long ways off, John. So who's to say? All right. Next question is from Heng O Sawillo. And before I get to the question, I do want to mention the new feature that was inspired, because actually it was Heng O Sawillo that inspired this. Now, when I do these Twitter mailbags, I generally like to give at least one question. I'd like to answer one question from everybody who submits a question, because I have a limited number of time that I can do for each podcast. And when I get five or six questions from the same person, as I did in this case from Hang, it's not fair to the other people, because then I don't get to their questions. So since Hang sent me about five or six, questions, what I'm actually going to do, folks, is I'm going to take multiple questions like that when I get them, and I'm going to create a written mailbag over on the Maven site that I write for. So I'm actually going to do like a Friday Five. I'm going to call it Fan Friday Five. Yeah, say that five times fast, right? So that's what my intention is. That's what my plan is. And I would say for anybody who wants to participate in that, the best thing to do is to send your five questions into me via email. It'll be a lot easier if we do it that way. You can still tweet them to me, but email might be the best way to go. The email address, as you guys know, is lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com. If you're going to do it for the Fan Friday, you can still do the Ask P Train hashtag, but I would recommend email. And the article, by the way, again, it's going to come out Friday. You can find that on mavensports.io/NYGiants. And I'm going to highlight it, kind of feature it on the top of the page. Make sure you're checking out that page, by the way. A lot of articles. I've been pumping out content like crazy all this week, and I'm continuing to do so as best as I can. A lot of different features, some news from around the league. Check it out. I mean, right now we've got a new talk back feature about switching quarterbacks this soon. So hopefully you guys who listen to the podcast will also, decide to participate in that. So, all right. Now, let me get to the one question that I did pick from Heng O Sawillo. Looking at the film for the first two games, how many plays did Eli just screw up? 40%, 50% or more? Couldn't be less. Heng, the answer is it is less. I think you could probably say maybe three or four plays based on what I saw on the film, based on what my analyst at Inside Football saw on the film, and based on what I've heard from people who have played the game and who have broken down the tape. All right. It is not all Eli. He is not the reason why this offense is struggling. You've got drop passes. You have some questionable play calling. The defense has been a mess, as I've said before. So it is not all Eli. To say that he screwed up about 50% or more of the plays, that's just not accurate. So, I'm sorry to break your narrative there, but that's the facts, and it's all there on tape. So I would suggest, if you know what you're looking at when you look at the tape, go back and look and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, folks, we're going to take our final break here. When we come back, we still have plenty more questions from this special Twitter Thursday, including a couple received via email. So stay with us and we'll be back to answer those shortly. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep on walking? Well, of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Well, if you want to start putting money in your pocket, check out MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as whom you're betting on. And when you bet with MyBookie, the options are endless. For example, did you know that MyBookie allows you to bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. Or if you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. And when you join MyBookie now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie will double your first deposit. So go on and visit mybookie.ag. And don't forget, use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the special offer for new users. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked on Giants Segment 3. It is a special Twitter Thursday, our second Twitter mailbag of the week. And really glad I decided to do that because you guys had plenty of questions. And I'm hopefully giving you guys some answers and appreciate the questions as always. So let's get right back into this last group here. Mr. Coach Clean wants to know, why haven't we heard from Gettleman or Mara regarding the change in quarterback? Especially since they made it sound like Eli still has years left and can make all the throws. I really don't know the answer to that. I know there have been requests by the media to hear from those guys, but all we can do is basically ask, and it's up to the Giants to decide whether or not whether or not they're going to make those guys available. And, you know, maybe they don't see it as being necessary because, you know, maybe it was because it was Pat Shurmur's decision and they felt that Pat Shurmur explained it. So I really don't know the reasoning behind it, guys. So, it is what it is. We just kind of work with what they give us. I mean, we ask, and if we're told no, you know, there's not a heck of a lot we can do, unfortunately. Crazy Demone wants to know, why in the world would Dave Gettleman trade away Beckham? Makes no sense. We could have had Jones, Barkley, and Beckham under contract. Also, the release of Conrad makes me so pissed. I love your interview with him. I really thought he'd be part of the team's future. Let's tackle the Beckham question first. Beckham is a tremendous talent. I think I've said that numerous times. He was well-liked in the locker room by his teammates. However, from a bigger picture standpoint, he was a distraction that the Giants just felt that they couldn't keep managing. They just, you know, this is just my guess now. I'm not trying to speak for the Giants, but the ESPN interview, I think, was the final straw as far as, you know, Beckham and whether or not there was a question of whether or not he wanted to be a football player or did he want to be a brand that used football to promote it. That is just my take. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but that's why I think they moved him on. That and the fact that, you know, they got an offer that really they couldn't refuse, or they felt that they couldn't refuse at the time. So regarding CJ Conrad, that one was a bit of a surprise to me as well. But in going back and looking at my notes from the summer and looking at the film from the preseason, I just wonder maybe there was a deficiency in Conrad's game. Maybe the blocking wasn't as good as, you know, we initially thought it would be. I just wonder if that was it, because as the preseason went on, I thought Garrett Dickerson, before he got injured, was actually having a better showing in the preseason. That's what I think is the case. I mean, disappointing for sure. But sometimes, look, you know, remember Adewale Ajomo a few years ago? You know, there was the legend of Jonas Seawright. These were all off-season stars. And sometimes when the pads go on and the action starts up for real, you see something different than when you did when the guys were running around in shorts and shells. So, all right, next up is That's So Rabin 6. Given the complete lack of talent on all ends of the Giants besides Saquon, do you think they are feeding Daniel Jones to the wolves. I feel he's going to be pummeled and it'll be a shot to his confidence. No, I disagree there, because they have a pretty solid offensive line. And I have to think that that was part of the equation. You know, if the offensive line was a problem, then I would say, okay, yeah, maybe you probably want to wait before you put the kid in there. But I think that's probably a big factor why they're making this move this soon, amongst other reasons, obviously. Empire PR man, now with the switch to Jones, do you see more touches for Barkley and or Evan Engram? Also, which receiver do you see him being most comfortable with based on practices you've seen? Okay, just as a reminder, we do not get to see full practices during the season. So I can't answer that last question because I don't know. Do I see more touches for Saquon Barkley and Evan Engram? Well, here's the thing. With Barkley, I do think he's going to get more and more opportunities. I'd like to see him get more involved in the passing game, especially downfield. With Evan Engram, one of the biggest changes from week one to week two, if you look at the film, the Bills were jamming Engram as he was coming off the line, and that was kind of throwing off his rhythm. And he didn't adjust and respond appropriately. So that's something that hopefully they are correcting in this week's practice. But I think that was a big reason why Engram went from being, you know, a stud basically in week one to being virtually non-existent in week two. Joe6776903 once says, just a passing thought, I know it won't happen, but if Eli would agree to a trade to Jacksonville plus a second and a fifth for Jalen Ramsey, one of the best quarterbacks in football, he's worth it. Joe, you're right. It's not going to happen. No point in talking about it. Eli has a young family. The kids are in school. He's not uprooting his family to move him to Jacksonville or anyplace else. I think Eli finishes his career as a Giant. He retires as a Giant. And that's the end of that. And P.S., while I agree with you that Jalen Ramsey is a tremendous talent, I don't see the Giants blowing a lot of money on a cornerback. Yes, he's worth it, but this team is not one player away. I can't stress that enough. And I just don't see the Giants making that move. KP McClave wants to know, I wonder if the film gives any indication where the hell Engram was for most of Sunday's game. Yes, actually, I just talked about it, but just to reiterate what I said, if you look at the film, Engram was getting jammed at the line of scrimmage. So he was getting knocked off of his timing and he didn't really adjust properly. I thought there were some instances where he was getting into his breaks late and the timing was all messed up. So I think that's one of the things that changed from week one to week two. And hopefully that is something that they have worked on in practice this week because they need him. I think, you know, if they can get him going and have him be a regular part of that offense and not have him disappear as he did because of that one little, you know, unexpected incident there, I think they're going to be better off with Engram, you know, catching a few balls. Giants Things asks, of the laundry list of issues this team has, what is the one thing that you completely don't understand why they are doing or aren't doing it? The one thing I don't understand is what is going on defense. When I looked at the tape from week one to week two, I did not spot any significant changes other than obviously the personnel changes. Ty Davis was benched in week two, as was Antonio Hamilton. You didn't see them on defense. You saw them only on special teams. But as far as the basic overall concepts, too much zone coverage. I think right now they're playing a lot more zone than they are man coverage. And I don't know necessarily that defensive coordinator James Betcher has them playing to their individual strengths. And to me, when a coach starts doing that and doesn't, you know, insist that, you know, hey, we're going to keep doing it my way until we get it right and doesn't really, you know, adjust accordingly, that's when I become a little concerned. And I'm not going to lie, I am a little concerned about that defense and what we've seen so far from it. All right, next question. This one is from email, or comes via email, from Steve T. If the Giants defense continues to struggle, do you think they would fire Betcher during the season? And if so, who would be a good candidate for the defensive coordinator position? Steve, I don't know that they would fire Betcher in season. I do think that if this defense doesn't turn around, certainly the hot seat is going to get even hotter underneath his backside. I'm not sure if they were to fire him in season, who they would replace him with. I'm wondering if it would be, I don't know, Bill McGovern, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question, but I do think he is on the hot seat, and I hope he turns it around, because right now, to me, that is the biggest problem on this team. Okay, one final question. This also via email from John G. wants to know, when was the last time the Giants had five tight ends on the roster? And what are the chances all five suit up Sunday against the Bucks? John, I don't know. I can't ever remember the Giants having five tight ends on the roster. I think I'd have to go back several years. And quite frankly, you know, not that I don't want to look it up or I'm not curious, but there's just not enough hours in the day for me to go back and that kind of history and see how far back I'd have to go to find that. But that's what I think is the case. I can't remember it. And I, you know, certainly not in the 20 plus years that I've been doing this. But as far as what are the chances all five suit up for Sunday, I don't see it happening. I really don't. I would be surprised. I think maybe you will see three of the five suit up. You might even see at some point a roster move being made in which that number gets reduced again. So we'll see if that ends up being the case. My thought is they've been holding a roster spot for Garrett Dickerson, who returned to practice this week after missing time with a quad. I'm really not sure why they've been holding a roster spot for him, but they apparently see something in him that they like, which is why he's on the 53-man roster. We'll see if he's the guy that they trade off, or, you know, maybe there's a bigger plan involved that I'm just not seeing. So, but thanks for the question, John, and thank you guys for all the questions. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to the Locked On Giants podcast. We'll have one more show, kind of like a little preview, an updated preview show. And again, don't forget to check out my written work over on the Maven site. That website, again, is mavensports.io/NYGiants. Make sure you register for a free account, and you can participate by posting comments. Always like to hear from you guys, and hope to hear from you soon. Till tomorrow, have a great day.